Token Smart Podcast. Last official episode with the regular crew of 2020, which is sort of hard to believe. I'm going to be recording a special episode with Sho this week that will drop next Monday, which I'm ridiculously excited about. I've been trying to get Sho on the show for a while now. So I'm stoked to hopefully at least get yelled at a little bit. Awesome way to cap the whip in the Met Olympics of 2020 with the whale maze and everything. And we broke a few things. Popped into Frankie's bar in Decentraland on Friday and broke that along with Who What Wearables. That was fun. So it was like quite the trail of destruction last week across multiple events of ours, which is fun. I love that. And I'm hoping we can break more things this week. We've got like a really cool holiday event on Wednesday that we're working with Bitrees again. And Sandy will have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we got a couple of musical acts lined up. And then we got Pixel Chain just sort of came out of nowhere with a really dope like cabin in the woods that has like a fireplace and a feast out there for us, and you know, is all like decked out for the holidays and everything. And they want to do some sort of like gift exchange or something along those lines. I got to sync up with Leandro again and figure out exactly what he has in mind. And then, you know, Jonathan and Ian over at Bitrees are always like plotting and scheming, I feel like, on their next scavenger hunt. So we're going to do something along those lines. Hopefully Dragonate won't win again, and it'll be fun. Not to mention our New Year's Eve Token Smart Get the F Out 2020 Music Festival, which we should absolutely hit on. So pretty stoked. The idea was to not have like a ton of stuff to do by canceling the whip in the Met Olympics. And Sandy knows how I roll. I, you know, see a vacuum and start cramming it with things. And here we are, but everyone should be hopefully resting over the holidays and taking some time off and doing whatever the hell it is they want to do over the holidays. So great to be back with Sandy and Trislet. That is my long-winded intro, and I'm super excited to catch up with them and see how things have been going on their end. So what's up, y'all? Welcome to the last official gathering of 2020 here.
Yeah, I'm
What's
looking
up?
forward to getting serenaded by Dab, right? He's offered
Yes.
multiple times.
Yeah, he promised not a standing comedy show, but a lay down comedy show. So we'll see how that
Dab's just sort of like felt very comfortable just when there's been a gap, just hopping on the mic and everything. He actually posted an awesome tweet. Anyway, he identified my spirit animal as like the Rizzle Chihuahua or something, and created a great piece of
goes
art,
Wawa.
the Rizzle Wawa, right? And I actually love it, and it's it would have never occurred to me to be my spirit animal, but it's somewhat more fitting than I anticipated. So shout out Dab Dragon. Thank you, man. Looking forward to the comedy routine. When is the comedy routine?
I don't know, actually. It's I don't know. We still have to schedule
When
that in, but whenever the mic is in need of a voice, Dab Dragon will be there.
that's a
But
good
yeah.
idea, we should push it on him. Anytime we have an empty spot, I expect you to come in with a joke ready. Lay
Yes.
the pressure down.
Yeah. No, you know what? Dab Dragon's hangouts have been really amazing. And this last show, he had Terra Virtua, the guys from Terra Virtua and Magmaster, they connected, and they were just speaking on future possibly collab. So yeah, that was Dab Dragon is making connections in the
Oh my God,
metaverse.
that was like the funniest conversation with Russ at the dentist.
Oh yes. I really hope that he was there, and he should have streamed that.
He
Think
should have.
we would have all been down for that.
I don't know if you were there. Were you there for that, Trislet? Russ was like basically hopped into Dab Dragon Hangouts from the dentist chair and was pretty participatory. I can't imagine what the dentist was thinking about like this conversation that was going on. And I believe he had a cavity drilled and then like continued the conversation on the way home and everything. So I hope Terra Virtual really values Russ because that's like some dedication that is unprecedented, I feel like.
It's gonna, what kind of mic did he bring if while he's getting it drilled? That's insane.
Dedication.
Yeah.
Right. So this week we've got the thing on Wednesday, and then I was just talking to Sandy before this. Known Origin hit me up this morning, and they are doing a drop. I don't want to goof up the details. Sandy, do you happen to have the tweet that I sent you, or of the?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. So they basically want to go ahead and stream an event of theirs, and that would be at, I'm looking at the messages right now, at 2 p.m. Eastern time.
Nice.
Let's see. Yeah, and then what else did they tell you? Sorry.
No, that's all right.
So this is a drop from Space Painter and Crypto Spectra, and it looks like the itinerary is they want to do, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time, they want to do a Q&A with the artists while they're getting set up with everything, and then I guess 8 p.m. is the drop and the auction. They're going to stream the event live in our Discord and everything, and then he's got like a couple other like bells and whistles that they're going to unload on everyone there. It looks like some really cool stuff. Space Painter does some amazing stuff. I mean, he's like a really talented VR artist and everything, as well as Crypto Spectra. Space Painter just happens to pop up in my Twitter feed all the time, so I'm very familiar with everything that he's got going on. So I'm actually really stoked. Me and Space Painter, I feel like, have been in conversation for like almost a year now, trying to figure out how to collaborate together in some way. I feel like there's like a lot of mutual respect that goes back and forth, and it's just never like totally materialized until now. And then this just happened this morning. They're like, yo, we'll do a thing in your Discord tomorrow. So that's awesome. We got to cram in the Avastars giveaway. We'll do that. Known Origin will do their thing. Dab Dragon will be hopefully ready right afterwards to do his Hangouts thing. And so all of these events should just sort of like flow from one into the other. And this is what I'm talking about. Somehow I was like, this should be a light week this week, and now I'm just cramming things in left and right.
Well, you know, it's like I was just thinking, because it reminded me of one thing that happened last week at the WIP that was really cool. I thought the Audius slideshow.
Yes. That we had done.
Yes.
Like if that's, I think it, not everybody in the community understands that. You know, I'm trying to run the Twitch stream, the actual Token Smart Twitch stream. I run through OBS Studio on my computer, and I pass through anything. But with that comes some really cool stuff, because a lot of gamers use it, you know, for like multi-video and video stuff. And I haven't gone as far with it yet, but I love playing with that stuff. So if somebody's got an interesting idea for a drop and they think it would both benefit from the Token Smart name, because it's on the Token Smart Twitch, but also they think, you know, they don't want to deal with that. Maybe they just want to talk and they want somebody else to hit the next button on their slideshow, right? They should hit me up or hit us up, and
yeah,
should practice before. I think that's the key. Like, I didn't know when to switch the slideshow ones on that, because I hadn't seen it myself first. And I'm like, you know, if you want me to manage the slideshow, you should probably send me the script and tell me when to hit next. It'll be a lot easier.
Well, it was executed very nicely, so thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm my own worst critic, I think, with some of that, right? But I'm like, yeah, I feel like we could do this a lot better if we practiced first.
I'm glad you mentioned that too, because a lot of people don't know what really goes on behind the scenes of, you know, of what it takes to pull out everything and get everything ready and set up. So it's a lot that we do. We're always running. I feel like we're always running around and just like trying to get every like last minute thing done. So, and when it comes to it, it's executed perfectly.
Dude, Matt just had like a great quote last week, because leading up to the WIP last week was a comedy of errors that we were trying to resolve at the last minute and managed to get by or whatever. But you know, up until the very last minute, Jim was trying to give Show build permissions so Show could get all the banners hung and everything. Show was mashing refresh for like 2.5 hours, and for one reason or another, it just didn't transfer or allow him to get in there. In the meantime, Jim had like some other things to do, so he was away from keyboard, but there was nothing else for him to do anyway. And then at the very last minute, like 10 minutes before the whip happened, the build permissions went through and show is like scrambling in there while there's like, you know, 100 people on top of Mount Met Olympics. He's like throwing Twitch feeds around and banners around and everything. And I'm wondering like what the hell's going on. And Matt was funny. He was like, there's something about being like, you know, 2 minutes out from the event that fixes all the bugs or whatever. And somehow like they all always get resolved. And we managed to pull these things off and everything. But dude, like the slideshow, I feel like that's the kind of thing that I have like almost discouraged people from trying to do at our events just because I'm so nervous that it's gonna be a catastrophe. And the last thing I want someone to do is, you know, put a lot of time and effort into making one of these things, and then we show up and it crashes or is like, you know, unnavigable or whatever. But from what you were able to do on Thursday, man, that seems like a slam dunk moving forward. And I'd be interested, like, I'm not super familiar with Twitch, and I'd be interested in knowing more of like what you know and what options are available to people, because having that in our back pocket is huge in terms of like, you know, the different layers we're able to add on to our events moving forward.
Yeah, that's not a lot of the, it's funny because as time goes on and the Twitch stream has become pretty like, now that we've figured it out and I can transition between, like, if we, you know, we've had a couple where, okay, the presenters are going to be in this parcel, but the after event is going to be in this parcel. You know, if I know that beforehand, I can set up a different avatar in each spot, you know, or a camera angle in each spot, and I can have little screen transitions. So, okay, everybody, we're going here. And then I just, you know, you have a slider and you can even add cool intros, you know, or have it fade out and fade into the other one. Like, there's all kinds of stuff like that we can do on the fly. But I'm like, all this stuff is it's a royal pain in the ass to set it up while it's happening. But if we, you know, have an idea in mind beforehand, like we can set it up and hit the button. Okay, transition now. Do this now. You know?
Dude. Definitely. Yeah, that's awesome. With something like the whale maze or whatever, I would imagine like that's almost impossible to like capture it well, or you'd have to be like switching from like, you know, shot to shot to shot to shot constantly. You know, I mean, is that true, or are there like some events that are like way easier to capture than others?
I don't know. I mean, that one was so the whale maze itself, I was really interested in. So I kept trying to run my own thing while also jumping to my other screen and moving my camera, trying to follow people. But then people kept getting out of syncs. And then all of a sudden I thought I was following somebody, but really they were stuck. They weren't actually moving. I'm like, oh shit, I'm following a ghost, I guess. Like, this is live. Everybody's watching me do this, right? I need to pretend like I meant to do that. So I don't know. That one was a little funky, but I'm sure we could have figured out something if I had thought about it better.
During the Met Olympics, I kept hearing somebody mention that like you were able to see the little dots of where people were in the maze.
Oh yes,
that was really, yeah. It was so close together that, you know, you'd be like, oh, I see where Rissel's going, so you'd try to go that way and then you'd hit a dead end. You're like, oh well, that doesn't work. If it was spread out really far, I bet you that would work. But
oh, was it with the CryptoVoxels map?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was on the, you couldn't, yeah, on the map with like the blue dots and everything. It was funny to see all them like sort of going in circles on the maze and everything simultaneously, and yeah, it wasn't enough that you could actually like follow someone on the map or whatever, but it was hilarious to see like all these dots basically like running in circles for a minute there. And man, I actually like had a lot more faith in that event being one of the, like the easiest ones to stick the landing with or whatever. Cause I was figuring like the race went pretty well. You know, all of our like in-world events that are like in Met Olympics campus have actually been like pretty well. The obstacle course, the Avastar's obstacle course, aside from being like nearly impossible, like, oh, actually that's not true. Everyone was naked at that event and it totally crashed. All right, yeah. Never mind. I don't know what I was expecting. Well, I got what I should have been expecting. But it was fun. I don't think anyone like cares too much or takes it too seriously. Somehow Dragonate finished the race and was like standing next to me the entire time looking at me and was like totally invisible while other people were exiting. So we worked it out and we'll reward the top participants and everything. It's hard to believe that there's no like Metalympics or like whip for really the longest span of time, almost in an entire year now. Their whip wasn't in existence this time last year. And so this is like the first like real long holiday season where we'll be without an event. But I think the one we come back with is CryptoKitties or something like that. I think we're going to have some sort of like cat breeding competition. So, oh, wow. Yes. So look out for the meow meow in that one.
Yeah.
Dude, and Sandy, the other thing that I felt like was off the hook last week, and I know you've been working with Foxy Yoga taking over hosting the listening parties and everything, and she sure as hell seemed to have come in there and crushed it. I was able to lurk like a little bit.
No, she killed it. She definitely embraced it, and I was so proud of her. During the event, I kept messaging, DMing her, "Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of you. You're doing great." I was a proud mama.
That's awesome. I was saying to Matt, like, because I guess Matt was there and he was saying, I mean, it helps that the episode with Connie, at least for me personally, was like so fun. And I'm sure that helped along the way, you know, just in terms of like keeping the momentum going. But, you know, I know when I originally talked to Foxy Yoga, I'm pretty sure I scared the shit out of her because I was talking like 1,000 miles a minute because I was just excited, and that's just sort of how I get going. And she was like, you know, English is not her first language, so she had some concerns about, you know, being able to express herself clearly during the event and, you know, just sort of be a good host and everything. And I wasn't really worried about it. I actually felt bad that I you know, couldn't make her put her more at ease or whatever. But it turns out, you know, from what Matt was telling me, it seems like she just showed up and crushed it. And I don't know if she like rehearsed ahead of time, but Matt was saying, he was like, I would have had no idea that she was nervous. She like came out totally confident and just like really, really did a good job. So shout out Foxy Yoga. It's awesome that I didn't scare you off and came out and crushed the thing.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. You know, it's a part of it. We've got everybody who comes and tries. I've noticed we've developed a pretty good group, and now we're all comfortable with each other. So it's like, I feel when we say stuff, we're not trying to be mean about it. We're trying to help each other. And I feel like it's very obvious, at least for me, I think. So I'm sure she, you know, she might've been a little worked up because, yeah, you're excited about that. I do the same thing. You know, I'm super excited about everything we're working on. When I see something new, sometimes I get giddy. You know, you get the little giddy, funny feeling where you're like, you're talking about it, you start giggling because you're like so excited. That's just, it happens with a lot of people in the community. So yeah, I can totally see her being a, man, this guy, he's going crazy. What am I getting into?
She's like, can you slow down a little bit? I was like, oh, it's gonna be great. I'm gonna hook you up with Sandy. We're gonna get you in the Discord. Like, whoa.
Hold on. Can we bring that from like an 11 down to like a 6 or 7, please? Yes.
I know, right? I can't help it. I mean, dude, we got a couple other people. Magmaster reached out to me over the weekend. He wants to do a thing in our Discord now moving forward. I gotta hit him up with some details about that. Our Pope Master, Strawberry Sith, is going to start doing a thing on Sundays for us in January of the new year, which I think is going to be some sort of like weekly look back, look forward into the, like the NFT space. Like, so beyond our like specific events, even though the entire world should revolve around them. But I think that'll be good. Like some sort of like a broad overview type of thing. He doesn't have to hold me to this if he has, you know, come up with other ideas, but it's cool that like all these people are getting involved and want to host things in our Discord. Like I said, Known Origin just sort of randomly hit me up, and I feel like people are getting it, right? Like people see that, you know, we can bring the people, a lot of cool stuff is going on. We're not like really focused on like one project over another, but it's just sort of like a dope community hangout spot. And I'm really hoping we can like leverage this momentum into our Vegas conference, which is in the super early stages, but Jim keeps like sending me ideas and messages, and I'm like, dude, we got to get this shit organized, because the amount of people who are excited about that is like off the chain right now. And it seems like Vegas is like a pretty local spot, not like local, but like, I don't know, it just turns out like a ton of people from the community seem to be close to Vegas.
Well, it's more central. It's funny because we always reference the New York one, because that's the past couple of years. It's been sort of like the biggie that people talk about, but it's still New York, you know, which is, we have a lot of people who are from the Valley, you know, from Crypto Central, from San Francisco, from California side and things. So it's, I'm sure it's a hike for them. You know, it's great for folks on the East Coast. And there's a lot of people from around New York. This is a big bustling metro, but yeah, I mean, having it more centralized, plus, I mean, honestly, Vegas is set as like a big convention area. They've got the resources there. They've got, if you've ever been to a large gathering there, it's pretty intense just because it's Vegas. So feeding off that, yeah, I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, and I feel like Vegas is totally our vibe too. So it just fits in perfectly.
It does, yeah. It's I feel like it fits perfectly too. I feel like I'm so happy. There's like two things like I'm so happy about right now in like the crypto space. And the one is that NFT NYC is not going to like constantly be like the reference point moving forward. We've got like a new conference to look forward to. And it also seems like 2020 is the new 2017. And I was like really tired of that as the reference point, but it's like nice to be like in the front seat of a bull run, and you know, the hype train is taking off, and you know, I'm so tired of people being like, you know, in 2017, back when like CryptoKitties took off, and you know, I feel like we're on the forefront of like the whole next crypto chapter right now. And I don't know how NFTs is not at the forefront of it moving forward. There's just like too many like cool applications for them. And we're trying to roll this into the Vegas conference as well. In terms of like, you know, I know Trisla had some ideas of like, you know, ticketing, which Mintbase did at NFT NYC, but there's so many like other directions we can go with NFTs and actually working them into like a working part of the conference and everything. But the response has been overwhelming. I mean, people keep hitting me up, wanting to get involved, saying, I got an art gallery out there. I know somebody who has like a, you know, 600-foot screen jumbotron that you could broadcast something on. And it's almost overwhelming to the point where I'm like, you know, we got to figure out what we want this event to look like and then see how other people can contribute or fill in the gaps. Otherwise, this thing could like easily get out of our hands with all the ideas and people chipping in. But I mean, this is like a good problem to have.
Oh, it most definitely is. I definitely think getting on the ball, having a set, like this is what we want to accomplish here, is going to be in our best interest, because it's our community. I like what you were talking about with Strawberry Sith trying to do something Sunday, because I feel like it's getting back to, for the token smart idea, it's getting back to the roots a little bit, and that the whole point is we're project agnostic. The whole point is that you come to Token Smart to learn, try to get integrated with the community, and you know, and I mean, our founder, Jim, is not afraid of calling you out if you don't feel like, you know, if you're trying to pull something scammy or it seems like you are. He's got no qualms letting you know that, which is what we're all, I mean, it's grown on, at least for me, it's grown on me. I like it, right? That's the big difference between now and 2017. We didn't have anything like that in 2017. So when people lost, they were left to their own devices, and that's what made everybody scared and run away. I feel so our current stuff is helping that original initiative a lot, and this Vegas conference idea is going to be pushing that whole idea much further than we could ever do remotely, I think.
Yeah
man, Jim is like the original show, like yelling at people calling them out. He's like the OG show. I mean, that's like one of the reasons I was endeared to Jim, like right off the bat, is because you love him or hate him, you can tell that he's coming from a headspace where he feels very strongly about NFTs and the integrity of the NFTs. And you know, Trisla, man, I think you're right. You know, I feel like, you know, in previous years, just in the crypto space in general, there hasn't been too many good central locations that you can get trustworthy information. And that was the original intention in Token Smart. And then I showed up and then I pulled Sandy Meows in. We just like to party and with tokens, but party first has sort of been like the angle that the whip has gone and like a lot of things have gone. But I feel like that has been like a great vehicle of getting the enthusiasm going. And now we've sort of come full circle where we've got a lot of people here who like how we get down, they like our vibe, and they are genuinely interested in, is this a trustworthy, project? And, you know, a lot of people I think have fed off of Jim's like, not like his vibe specifically, but his like passion for everything being like very transparent and calling a spade. And, you know, for everyone that he pisses off, I feel like I've seen a lot of other people, you know, agree to disagree or at least understand where he's coming from. And, you know, a lot of times I feel like, you know, people get really defensive because Jim's right a lot of times and their projects have some big gaps or holes in them that he does not have a problem exposing. And people don't like that shit when they put like a lot of time and effort into their stuff, which is why I just stick to partying. And that's.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when a lot of those conversations, you see that even when they start nice, they can devolve and get real, real fast. And somebody's feelings start getting hurt. So yeah, I've totally been on the other side too, you know, where I've poured my heart and soul into something and then I go out, try to get some, hey, check this out. And they like tear it down hard. And I'm like, oh, I don't like you anymore. You know, you're like, no, that's not the right thing. It's so supposed to be helpful criticism, right? It's supposed to help you. Yeah. And that's, yeah.
No, and shifting that perspective, the way you explained it too, you know, it's constructive criticism. It's not, it's to help you. It's not to, you know, at all. It's not ill.
Yeah. You should have seen him at NFT NYC. That was some constructive criticism live in mid-conference. No, I agree with you though. I think that's what his intentions like genuinely are. And I, you know, I don't think he really gives a shit, which is like, you know, what people think of him, which is, you know, one of the things that I, you know, do respect about him is that, you know, he's not really afraid to ruffle feathers or make people upset or whatever. If, you know, it means calling people out for something, anything. Sometimes it doesn't even matter.
You know, a big part of that is that when you come out and you say something nasty about somebody, you better have evidence to back it up when they come back at you, which he always does. That's why it's a good, if you just come out just to say crap just because, but you can't back your, you know, what you're saying up, then yeah, like that's bad. That's actually when you're just, okay, you're just being mean now. Like that's not helpful.
No, totally. You know, I want to hype our New Year's Eve event, but Sandy was like, don't tell everybody who's playing yet.
I know. I was like, keep it a secret.
I was like, all right, sorry. I can't help. I'm just trying to flex all over the place. I just really want to brag about this thing. Can we drop the name, Sandy? Or do you want to drop?
Let's drop the name.
Name drop. Do some name dropping, Sandy.
Do it fast. Read it really fast so they have to slow it down.
Guys are putting the pressure on. I lost connection on my laptop, so I'm on mobile right now.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Nice.
Really? Thanks.
Yeah.
With all my audio issues, that's awesome to hear. But yeah, definitely. We have Harrison First. We have MJ Moonbow, Sugar Club, Trippy Yogi, InCat, Mighty 33, Panther Modern, Show. Show is bringing in the new year. Rizzle, help me out here because I am trying to get the list.
You got almost everybody. I got a couple more. My World, who's everywhere all of a sudden. He was referenced by Connie, and then he had a conversation with Voxel Architects, and then someone else just mentioned My World too over the weekend. Anyway, My World seems like they're blowing up. Crypto Carla is in. She did some, I don't know, she hit me up and did like a rap about Drizzle, which is something that I'm not like super familiar with, but I was like, yo, you need to get rid of the D in this song. And it could quickly be my favorite song of all time if it was Rizzle. Anyway, so I got to talking with her, and she's going to do a set, which is awesome. Yeah, shows bringing in the new year on the East Coast US, and then Blackheart Honeymoon, Eclectic Method, Vandal, who's bringing in the new year on the West Coast, and then Netuno, who I think Sandy, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, I think Sandy booked them over the weekend, and I'm not super familiar with them, but it's awesome. We only really have, like, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time and going to 4 a.m. Eastern time on New Year's Day, we're almost booked, like, totally solid. I think we have, like, three or four openings for other musicians who want to play throughout the day. We can always push some people around. I mean, you know, the whole concept of this event was just to have, like, a really fun, like, inclusive music festival. So, you know, would love to find a way to work in anyone who wants to play and everything. But mission accomplished. Sandy's been working like crazy behind the scenes, booking all these people and helping them get set up on Discord so that all they got to do come New Year's Eve is just show up and you know, be a musician and have fun and do their thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'd recommend anybody who's going to have a New Year's Eve party, you know, a small gather. We're not supposed to have big gatherings, right? It's all supposed to be small ones. But if you're going to have a small one, you should put Discord up on your TV and play it over your speakers. Make sure everybody can hear everybody else at your party.
Yes.
We could be the music to your event, to your
song.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't have any plans for New Year's Eve, and I'm pretty excited. And that's how this like idea sort of hatched in the first place. I'm like, you know, New Year's Eve is on a Thursday and there's no whip that day, and was wanting to do something, see the people and hang out and everything. And so, I'm excited, you know, starting 10 a.m. I just get to like turn my speakers on and just let it run, all the way until early hours in the morning. Somewhere in there is also Dab Dragon's drinking hour or lay down comedy routine. Well, he's in the mix somewhere.
At four or like 4 to 6 p.m. Something in there.
We're going to start Dab Dragon early and hope he makes it all the way through the night.
He's in training, so.
Nice.
He's working up to that one. Yeah. It's good.
And if you guys or anyone wants to like crypto Dick Clark it up and do like a little emceeing, you know, I don't want it to get like too crazy where anyone feels like they can just hop on the mic and start like rambling, except for Dab Dragon, of course. I don't want it to be like too crazy where everyone feels like they can just jump in whenever, but for real, if anyone does want to sort of MC or, you know, do the transitions between one band or another or whatever, you know, let's have some fun. Or, you know, like we were saying a while ago, if you have another idea of something you'd like to do, pets with costumes on or some sort of Christmas event or anything you want to screen share that would go along well with a wacky New Year's Eve party is totally, totally invited.
You know, it's now that I'm thinking about it, because I don't think we had talked about it too much, but I should set up the Twitch stream and just let it run, because I mean, that's a secondary way to deliver the content. It's easy for people to see if for some reason they have trouble with Discord or whatever, because nice thing about Twitch, it's actually an app and stuff, so you can download it on your phone, or if you've got a smart TV, you can just download it straight on the TV. Maybe that's our path forward to get the content out to people who are having trouble with Discord. I just want to get as many people to watch it as, even if they can't talk back to us, it doesn't matter if they can hear it.
Dude, you're making me feel like I've been like sleeping on Twitch, and I know we've used that for audio in world in crypto voxels now, and you know, maybe you're right, man. I mean certainly leaving it up running if it's like a low effort thing that we can just do just to, you know, have more exposure on this event. But you know, moving forward, you know, maybe we need to do a better job of thinking about ways to utilize Twitch and, you know, just continue to stream things. From what you're saying, it seems like any of these things that we have going on in our Discord, we could essentially just stream through Twitch, right?
Yeah. And in fact, you can, I was messing with it a little bit because I was trying to help a Dragonate a bit. And I noticed I didn't even get, again, I've been a video gamer for a long time. That's what pulled me into Twitch. So I'm used to watching other gamers stream and stuff, but I hadn't done that. I'm not very good at gaming. I like gaming, but I'm not very good at it. So, you know, I'm not going to stream my gameplay. But looking at it and getting into it more, I'm like, you can have little protected codes so you can allow other people to stream to your channel. You can do stuff like that. I'm like, man, I should start utilizing this more than I am. Apparently there's all kinds of stuff that I don't understand. I see other people doing it because I just watch them stream, but until you're doing it yourself. Feeding the code into you guys, like, it could just, Rizzle, it's like, if I'm not around here, just type in this code and turn on ABS, and whatever's on your screen will start dumping to the Twitch channel. Like, we can totally do that.
We totally could. Did you guys talk about the Sync Us t-shirt drop?
Good call. We lost Sandy like about halfway through here, but she's back. I bought my own shirt to make a bunch of stupid jokes about it and support Sinkus's project, and actually tried to give it to Bartleby afterwards for free just because I was flattered that he would pay for my shirt, and he wouldn't accept it. He thought it was only right that I continue to wear it. So I still have my shirt, and I'm very happy to have it. And I'm pretty sure it was one of the worst ones of all of them, which I'm also, with the Sandy Mouse vibe from the ugly sweater contest, I'm proud to have my own piece of low effort art. But I mean, I was at the previous, I mean, you guys could tell me, and like the previous shirt drop, not knocking any of the artists or anything at that one, but I feel like with this one specifically, either like the template has changed and you can do more things with these voxels, or like the level of art has increased significantly since then. And I don't know, maybe has anything changed with like how you can construct these wearables? I'm like, the squares look smaller and like more well organized on everyone else's shirt but mine somehow.
I don't know. That's a good question. I still have the, because I got one in the first t-shirt drop. I think I got the Gagnum Dad District shirt one. So I, even though I don't wear it as much as I probably should, I do have it. We should compare sometime. Check it out.
Yeah. And I think it comes with experience with Magicka Voxel. So I think, those other ones, it just comes with more experience of knowing the settings and everything else. Because I had the same issue with the ugly sweater vest. I'm like, how the heck do I do this? Everybody's coming up with like beautiful pieces. And then I took some time and then I got the hang of it. So I think it's just experience. So you have to practice more, Rizzle.
I feel like that would go against my strategy of just showing up and winging it. Something ugly. Did you come away with one? I saw you bidding on one of them, Sandy. Did you manage to scoop it up?
You know what? I did. And I did a little prayer. I first was trying to go for the Euro Myron t-shirt, but I got into a bidding war with one of the co-founders of Grow Your Base. So I lost. Sure. Yeah. And then finally, I bid on Sinka's Starry Night, and Zonked decided to enter into a small bidding war with me. And then I did a little prayer. I said, please, God, Zonk has been winning Met Olympics. Let me get this one. Nice. And then I just waited like 20 minutes and it was silent and I won and I was so excited. So yeah, I got one. So I'm super stoked.
So Zonked, if your computer broke mid bidding, it was because of Sandy.
Yeah. It's about time we like recruited God to strike down Zonked. We've been winning too much shit. I wholeheartedly
been winning too much.
No, that's awesome. No, the Sinkos shirt drop, I think he cleared like $3,000 or something worth of shirts, which I know a decent portion of that goes directly back to the artists and everything, and he's got plans to make physical copies out of these things. But it's just like a fun event. I feel like it was a great idea. It's not like anything super, one of the mistakes I feel like a lot of people make in this space is they have such a complicated project that it loses some of its glory because it's so difficult for people to wrap their heads around, or it's like not very approachable for people outside of the space. So you're really only like you know, pitching your project to like a niche within a niche within a niche. But Syncos's shirt project is a great idea and like super easy to understand, even if you're not like into virtual worlds or whatever. It's just like t-shirts designed by artists and they're all unique and that's all you need to know. And I love like the simplicity and the coolness of the whole concept. Even though he was originally set on pants, I will never let this go, Syncos, if you're listening, and I hope you are. He was originally focused on solving the pants problem in the metaverse. And I realize that there are technical limitations to that. And Dabdragon is probably happy that he has not solved this problem, but he low-key pivoted to shirts a while ago, and I will continue to call him out for that.
Yeah, we have to continue the no pant party, so.
That's right.
It's just become a thing now. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, whatever. Nobody wears pants around here. Don't worry about it.
I love that Dabdragon made like a specific post after the we went to Frankie Needles. Yes. And he was like, I'm forced to wear pants in Decentraland. I think he actually like,
you know, think he did like a prop. What? Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, like a petition or like a proposition or like something like that. He's
That's a great point. Like I feel like that'd come up on a pro and con list, right? A con in Decentraland, have to wear pants.
Yeah. No option. Strictly enforced dress code over there. They're not quite ready for us.
They don't mess around.
All right, y'all. Well, we got the Christmas event, holiday event, Wednesday, the New Year's Eve festival, podcast drop tonight. Shout out to the Easy Listening Party. Anything major that we're missing here?
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Before this, we were talking a little bit about trying to get people over to Vegas for the meetup. We're not sure if we're going to have a caravan set up. And we're all going to have to join it along the way.
Yeah. For the party bus.
Yeah, Trizlet's going to start the party bus in Maine. He's going to swing past North Jersey, pick Connie up, pick myself up. I think show's in New York. Isn't show in New York? So you'll probably have to pick a few people up in New York. This is going to be a big bus, dude. I hope you're ready.
You have to have
like a school bus. You know, part of me...
I love that idea. I'm picturing like the old rusty school bus looking type thing. The cheapest thing we could find. All right, everybody jump on. It's safe enough.
Dude, you know, if this plan were to actually materialize, I'm like not even entirely kidding, man. Part of me would look forward to that more than the conference or anything else. It would just be like some massive strange road trip with the Token Smart and Whip Fam, like all the way out to Vegas, with Trizla driving the giant school bus. Those things, these kind of things excite me greatly.
Dude, every time I try that, I get way too sucked into every tour strapped along the way. So you better get ready for like the biggest, you know, ball of wine, twine, and the biggest frying pan. It's like, we're stopping. We need a picture of you guys.
We can have like these drive-by events, basically.
Yeah, we show up 3 weeks late for the conference. Yeah, we had to stop at every place on the way.
Jim did want to rope in like some sort of Metalympic component to this, so you know we could possibly leverage that as an excuse. You know, we got these selfie competitions we've been doing with the Metalympics and everything. So you know, as part of the in real life event, if you don't have a selfie with the giant frying pan on, you know, on the way there, you don't get as many points.
No, it's for you,
dude. Trizlet, I imagine you just being that dad where you're like, look guys, scenic overview, we gotta stop, and you're like, oh come on, we just stopped at like 10 scenic overviews.
Yeah. It's really cold out, come on, it builds character, just get right. Out.
Yes, dude, you're the perfect one to drive the bus. This is gonna be dope.
Yes.
All right, y'all. Well, I'll let you go for today. Always great catching up with you guys, and we'll do it again 2021.
Nice.
Sweet.
See you next year.
Later, y'all.
Bye.